Blog Talk Radio.
Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the eye.
Good morning, Rise and Shine. Good morning to each and every one of you that are listening by divine appointment, either live or in the archives. And welcome to Talk, Teach, and Testify Radio. I'm your brother, Brother Renaldo Wade. And this morning, I just want to speak an encouraging word into your spirit, because we see how the church is evolving and is becoming more entertainment. It's becoming to look like a circus. It's becoming to look more like the world. And there are some of you who are listening this morning who are just sick and tired of being sick and tired of being abused by church hurt, of listening to unsound doctrine, of coming up to the altar and not receiving what you need, of listening to false prophecies by prophet liars, and so tired of these false apostles who are claimed that they're sent by Yahuwah, but they're actually not. You are also tired of being taught more staying into sin as opposed to being delivered from sin. We're seeing more and more on television, you're listening on radio, you're looking on social network and social media, that a lot of people are still stuck in tradition and religion. And we have to understand that a lot of people, including most of these leaders, they don't want to be set free. They don't want to be delivered. Some of them don't even want the truth. When the truth is spoken, they get offended, right? And you're reading from the word and you're trying to tell them and trying to help them, but instead, it seems like they feel like that you're trying to harm them. And I just don't get it. Some people just won't get it. If they're ignorant, the word says, let them be ignorant still. So, you know, my first word of encouragement to you this morning is that if a person continues to throw dirt on you, that's okay. Let them go ahead and throw it on you. A dear brother of mine was telling me the story of a particular animal. I guess it was like an ox. And they was trying to bury the ox, and they dug up a ditch, and they put the ox in there, and the ox was alive now. And they was trying to put dirt on this particular ox. And as the dirt was being thrown on this ox, he shook off the dirt, and then he started to step on the dirt while he was in the ditch. They continued to do it and continued to do it. And as you could tell by the story, the dirt was falling off of him and was being up under his feet, and he was stepping on it to pack it so that he could get out of the ditch. It was taking him higher. The more that they kept throwing the dirt on him, the more that he shook off the dirt and packed it on him. What is your brother saying this morning? The more that people are throwing dirt on you, on your ministry, your family, whatever the case may be, your reputation, your character, shake off that dirt. Pack it up under your feet, and that particular dirt is going to raise you higher. And eventually, it will make you stronger, because the more that you have to shake off that that weight of that dirt, the more that it's going to be up under you, and you'll be able to rise up to the occasion. I hope that that blessed you. So good morning unto you. It is 10:15. We heard the shofar, and then we heard Shifting the Atmosphere by Jason Nelson this morning. Just a couple of announcements, because I just want to make this short and quick, because I know many of you are going out and about on this wonderful Shabbat morning. On Monday, we're going to be having part two of our teaching about Western civilization versus the Hebraic culture and how it has dearly affected the body of believers. Part two will be on Monday morning, if Yahuwah is willing, 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time. And those of you who have been praying for this radio ministry, been praying for your brother, been lifting me up before the Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you so much for what you have been doing. It's always a pleasure to see brothers and sisters lifting up one another. Doesn't Psalms 133 tell us, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity? And we're just so, especially me and everybody else at Talk, Teach, Testify Radio, we're just so excited to see how many people have been really blessed, have been really been learning from the teachings. And your brother would like to continue to keep the radio shows on the air. And if you could just help me and just continue to keep it on the air with your prayers, with your encouraging words, with your, you know, your donations, your seed sowing, whatever the case may be, every little bit helps. And it really, really just, it just blesses me when someone can appreciate the unadulterated and the uncompromising truth that I speak. A lot of people, they have came and gone, but that's okay because we're only in each other's lives for a reason, a season or a lifetime. I mean, so I just encourage all of you just to continue to blow the show for. If you're teaching the truth that comes from that black book or whatever the color it is called the Holy Bible or from the Holy Scriptures is what I like to say. Continue to press forward, my brother and my sister. Allow the Holy Ghost to use you. I'm encouraging you to continue to do so. Every little bit helps, and what you are doing for the kingdom is you're building just a little more so that those people who are out in the world, who are wanting to come into the kingdom, those that chosen remnant that he has already called, that they will hear the clarion call, and they will come in. So pray for those brothers and sisters who are out there that's trying to come on in. Remember, you are a soldier in the army of Yahuwah, and you are to speak out, blow that shofar. Do not be so shy and don't be so afraid. The word tells us through Jeremiah, the word of the Lord, the word of Yahuwah told him that, quote, he said this, he said, look at their faces, and you speak the truth, okay? And that's what we have to do. It doesn't matter who looks at you. Stand up for something. I'd rather die for something than to live for nothing. Hallelujah. All righty. Let's get into this morning's teaching, because there's a lot that I want to share in so little of time, and one of the most, how can I say it? One of the biggest things that we're seeing in the body of believers today, we're seeing more of the materialistic church as opposed to the spiritual body of believers. And we're seeing this new age religion and this prosperity gospel that's being taught. I don't believe I read anywhere in the word about when the Messiah, when he was here, when he was talking more about get all your riches from other people. We always talk about the young rich ruler, right? We always refer back to that scripture and what did he tell them to sell everything and give it to the poor. And then you can enter to the kingdom. He says, come and follow me. But the young rich ruler, he turned away. And that lets us know that he was more stuck on his materialistic things than he was in following the Mashiach. And we're seeing more and more of the young rich ruler in the congregation and in the church. There's a scripture that I want to read to you. And those of you who are on this line this morning, if there is something that you see that is not of your Heavenly Father, and somebody's trying to preach you something or try to preach somebody else something that is not of the Father, now is the time for you to start rebuking these individuals. Now it's time for you to stand up for the kingdom. We're letting too much stuff fly. Too many things are being able to slide in the church, in the congregation of saints. And we're shifting out of the church age, and we're shifting into kingdom. He did not tell Pilate Pilatus that my church is not of this world. No, he said, better yet, he said, my kingdom. And we have to be kingdom-minded. And so many people cannot grasp that particular concept. And the reason why they can't grasp it is simply because, A, they don't want it. B, it tells us in the word that his people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge, for their lack of knowing him. A lot of them don't know him. They claim that they have talked to Jesus and they've talked to God. But in all actuality, folks, it is the Holy Ghost that's speaking. It is the Holy Ghost that you are talking to. If you are speaking to any part of the Heavenly Father, you're talking to the Holy Ghost. And we hear a lot of crazy lingo that's going on in the church. We hear a lot of things such as, come on, Jesus. And we know that he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's not coming yet until the time and the hour will present itself by the Heavenly Father. We know that the Father is not moving because he's sitting right there on the throne. And people really feel that in the church it's more about pleasing yourself as opposed to worshiping and pleasing the Father. On last week, we talked about a very serious issue concerning what's being spread about with the Osteens. And I'm talking about Joe Osteen and his wife, Victoria Osteen. Now, we love everybody, okay? And we're not here to bash anybody. But we're here to listen to unsound doctrine and to how things, when they are spoken, how they could be taken out of context and how people could be misled into thinking as to what Victoria Osteen said, that, quote, when you worship him, you're not doing it for him, but you're doing it for yourselves. And we're going to listen to this right quick, and we need to talk about, and there are scriptures that we're going to have to look at this morning to oppose what is being spoken here. People, you have the power, you have the authority, okay, to speak out, to say enough is enough. It's too much foolishness that's being spoken in the congregation, and we say amen to everything. Be careful what you say amen to. In the book of Revelation, the scripture says that the Messiah, he is the Amen. He has the final say-so. When you say Amen, do you know that you have just sealed the deal, that you put your total faith into whatever that individual said? Even when you up there with your eyes closed, with your hands raised up, receiving a prophet lie, and you agree to all of that, ask that prophet, tell me something that only me and the Heavenly Father knows, and I believe that you're a prophet of the true and living Yahuwah. We're taking too many prophecies. It's too much psychic readings instead of teachings. It's too many preaching and rolling on the floor. What was the message about last Sunday? Well, he read a scripture and he said, hoo, ha, and and grunted and come on somebody and amen. And it's a lot more of that going on as opposed to the teachings. Where's the word at? Why is it so stale? Why is it, you know, not nutritious in the spirit realm? Teaching the truth. Well, it's about money. It's about greed. It's about pride. It's about being top dog. It's about vainglory. It's about all these horrific titles. It's about pleasing man more than pleasing the Father. Please read Galatians 1 and 10 when Paul says, I'd rather be a pleaser of Yahuwah than be a pleaser of man. Look, the word tells us, trust in Yahuwah and have no confidence in man. Too many people are trusting so much on these social network guys on Facebook and having more faith in them than having faith in the Heavenly Father. Look, I'm not trying to knock anybody, okay, who's trying to do the gospel and teach the message and spread it throughout the world. That's excellent because he wants us to teach the message as he has commanded us. That is the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. But the point that I'm making is this. Thank you, Holy Ghost, is that we are to rightfully divide the word of truth. Doesn't the word tell us that? To study or to prepare to show ourselves approved unto Yah, not unto man. A workman that needed to be ashamed, rightly dividing his word of truth. people understand that it's better to tell a lie than it is the truth, because the lie travels faster. According to the human psyche, a lie would be more believable than the truth. And when truth hits, your heart beats just a little faster. Try it. And once you hear what Victoria Osteen is going to say right here, because I have it on audio so you can hear it, pay very close attention to what she says, because she's speaking to thousands of people there at the Lakewood Church down in Texas. And there are thousands of individuals who are listening to this, and they sing amen to it. My brothers and my sisters, we're seeing a horrific case of church programming. People are being programmed into believing what they want you to believe. They know how to pervert and twist the word of truth, add a couple of lies to it, and make it true lies. Be careful in this season what you listen to in your ear gates. Even the words that I speak, please allow the Holy Ghost to filter those particular things that are being spoken to you. Look, your salvation is so important. Your soul, your spirit is very important. You must guard it. You must protect your crown. You can't allow just anybody to plant seeds of lies into your spirit, man. Let's listen to this lie here. And we're going to go ahead and break it down in passages after I explain what's going on. This is Lakewood Church very own Victoria Osteen.
When we're happy, that's the thing that gives him the greatest joy this morning. So I want you to know this morning, just do good for your own self. Do good because God wants you to be happy. When you come to church, when you worship him, you're not doing it for God, really. You're doing it for yourself, because that's what makes God happy. Amen. Let's open our heart to him today, Father.
Okay. This is like the most talked about topic and controversial thing that's being said right now about what she said, that people should obey, quote, God, because it will make them happy. And she said, well, just do good for yourselves. Do good because God wants you to be happy. I don't know about that. A lot of people are really calling this, quote, cheap Christianity. Now, we have to understand that Christianity was created by man back in the 4th century by Constantine. He put together this religion. He took the Holy Scriptures and he brought some paganism in it. And ta-da, you have Christianity. On March the 4th, 321 AD, and you can look this up in your history books, Constantine decides, I'm going to take the Lord's Day, and that's what he called it, the Shabbat. He labeled it the Lord's Day, and he put it on Sunday, and that's why everyone goes to church on Sunday. I thought if you look at the calendar, Sunday will be your first day of the week. It is not the Shabbat, which is the seventh day. Okay, but these particular individuals who are leaders, they really honestly believe, including, Sister Osteen, she really believed that, and I'm going to use God because that's what she says, that God exists to make us happy rather than to be holy. Now, the Heavenly Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Yah or Yahuwah, with him is about true holiness. Leviticus 11 and 44, doesn't he tell us to consecrate yourself or to Cleanse yourself and be holy, for he is holy. What is holy? Holy is being set apart. Look, the Messiah says, we live in this world, but we're not of this world. They're going to hate you because they hated him long before you. They're going to persecute you because they persecuted him. The world loves his very own. And when you live the truth, the more that you walk in it, the less your circle is going to be. It's always like that. People really believe, folks, and this is the twisted message that they're trying to get out, that your praise and your worship is to fulfill you more than it is to lift it up in his esteem. And you have these mega church individuals and some people that they feel that they're mega churches that they're really not. But they're using articulate words and they're trying to use their intelligence and just like how the Greeks do back in those days, Greeks used their philosophy and their wordplay to try to capture people. And they're doing that in the church too. Paul said that his teaching and his preaching was not by the enticing words of man's wisdom, but rather in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of the Father. We are beginning to see more and more individuals setting up these churches just because they want to make money, because they want to be popular. Many of your leaders have not even been chosen to speak. Many of these particular teachers, they're undertrained. Oh, yeah, they went to theology seminar for 5-10 years, and I'm not knocking that. But when you get trained by the Holy Ghost, it's a whole different ball game. Let's read some scriptures today, and let's see what the Father is telling us. This is an encouraging word. And I want to start off with good old Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, chapter number 23. And it says, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says Yahuwah. Therefore, thus says the Elohim Yah of Yasharia against the pastors that feed my sheep, you have scattered my flock and have driven them away and have not visited. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, says Yah. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. Hallelujah. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, says Yahuwah. Powerful, right? Very, very powerful. And we're seeing that people falling by the wayside, these particular leaders, because the Father is setting up, under the unction of the Holy Ghost, setting up leaders who has his heart, who truly loves him, who truly obeys him. And it reminds me so much of King Rehoboam, and he was one of the sons of Shlomo of Solomon. The reason why I'm taking this here, and you can go to 2 Chronicles, that's our next scripture, 2 Chronicles chapter number 8, I'm sorry, 2 Chronicles chapter 12, we're coming to the passage here. Now, Rehoboam, remember, he established the kingdom of Yahuda. And when he stripped himself, and that's what a lot of people rely on, they rely on their wisdom instead of relying on the Holy Ghost, he forsake the law, the Torah of the Heavenly Father, and all of Israel followed him in forsaking the law. And it came to pass, the scripture says in verse 2, that in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against Yahuwah. We're seeing a lot of attacks coming because a lot of people have transgressed against the Father. And this is what's taking place when they don't have no Holy Ghost. Let's go to verse 9, because Shishak, he comes in to Jerusalem, and he does something. He takes something away from Judah or Yahudah. And if you know your studies, if you do them, Yahudah or Judah, it means praising the Father, or praise ye the Heavenly Father, Yahuwah. Verse 9 says, so Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of Yahuwah and the treasures of the king's house. He took all. He carried away also the shields of gold, which Solomon had made, instead of which King Rehoboam made shields of brass and committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard that kept the entrance of the king's house. And when the king entered into the house of Yahuwah, the guard came and fetched him and brought them again into the guard's chamber. And when he humbled himself, the wrath of Yahuwah turned from him, that he would not destroy him altogether. And also in Yahuwah, things went well. What is this passage saying? There's a lot of individuals who are trying to fake it till they make it. There's a lot of people who claim that they have the Holy Ghost and they're carrying familiar spirits and they're using witchcraft. You remember that term that everything that glitters is not gold? Have you ever heard of that saying before? And a lot of people use the word of Yahuwah and they hide behind the shine of his word, but they don't live it. Yeah, they're hearers of the word, they're studiers of the word, but they're not doers of the words, and they're deceiving them own selves when they think that they're deceiving you. They put this persona, this front, and this is how the prosperity gospel and the new age gospel, this is how it operates. They talk about Jesus and God and Jesus and Jesus and Jesus, and Jesus is going to heal you, and they manipulate you. And they make it sound like it's so golden. Then when you buy into it with your tithes and your offerings, and when you go home, you get sick, and now you look at what you have, and it's brass. Brass is an alloy. It's a combination of zinc and copper. Gold is pure. It has different carats, 12 carat, 24 carat. And you have a lot of people who are not carrying the weight of gold, but the weight of brass. Did you know that the weight of brass is heavier than the weight of gold? And it's simply because of this. It's because, like I stated earlier, brass is an alloy, copper and zinc. It may shine and it may look like it's gold, but it has a dull look to it. A lot of people in the church have that same thing. I am saved, I'm sanctified, and I'm filled with your Holy Ghost. But their fruits don't show it, do it? A lot of love is missing. No joy, no long-suffering. Oh, dude, we got to fast again, leader? Come on. Where's the meekness? Where's the temperance? All these leaders walk around with their chest puffed out like they're some type of peacock, but no Holy Ghost power. These particular individuals, they make their flyers and they got that, quote, brass attraction. Come on, we're going to have a revival down at the bottom in small print, $10 submission, you know, VIP, $15. Are you kidding me? That's not church. That's not kingdom. Did the Messiah go around and tell individuals in the word, have you ever read that he set up a booth and for people to pay for interest to come to the altar so that they could be saved and delivered or be healed? This is the case that I'm making before we go on to the next particular scripture. Is that people, and we're talking about this nation that we live in, this consumer culture, this this image-driven society, this cult that we are in of the therapeutic, the particular marketing impulse, the sheer superficial of today's American cultural Christianity. It's making a lot of leaders, including the Osteens, inevitable. If you go to the book of Psalms, and you're probably wondering, why is this happening in the congregation of saints? Well, it is falling into prophecy, into the book of Psalms, the 74th division of Psalms. And it tells us in verse number 3, lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolations, even all that the enemy have done wickedly in the sanctuary. Verse 4 says, their enemies roar in the midst of thy congregations. They set up their ensigns for signs. Yes, the enemy has set up camp. And why aren't kingdom citizens set up camp sometimes in the enemy's camp just to see what's going on within them? You got to know the wiles of the enemy. Didn't the Messiah say this? Be wise as serpents, but be gentle as doves. We need to discern. We need to watch and pray to see what is going on in the kingdom. Look, you have ministries such as the Osteens. They're very phenomenally successful because they represent the exaggerated fulfillment of the self-help movement and this culture of celebrities rolled up into one massive megachurch media empire. And to cap it all off, they put icing on a cake because they're going to give you what you crave for, reassurance and false hope, and they do it with a smile. And that's why he smiles. Don't you know that Jesus loves you? This, as I look, and I can do this because we are supposed to know them by their fruit. This is probably, I say, the latest and the slickest version of prosperity theology. That American hearsay now is going to spread on out. But people, it's been starting here in America. This is that American Pentecostalism that they're trying to talk about. The prosperity gospel or the prosperity theology. And they're so based on Yahuwah. Let me take that back, because they serve another God. That God rewards them. If you have faith in that prosperity gospel, that he will give you health and wealth. And they first appeal and they go and they search and they look out for those who are dispossessed or the very poor. Doesn't the word tell us that even though we may be poor in sight, but we are still rich in spirit? So you're looking at these early devotees, if you will, of prosperity theology. And they're worshiping the gift more than the gift giver. My brothers and my sisters, when you read the word of the Father, we have to be careful what we put faith in. He told us in the word, if we delight in him, that he will give us all the desires of our heart. Now, I don't see nothing materialistic there, because when you delight, when you are excited for the Father, when you want to be in his presence, he's going to give you that desire. That is what he's talking about. not so much the materialistic blessings, and those will come later, but if you seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, then all these things shall be unto you. We are blessed, my brothers and sisters. We are to become blessed so we can bless other people. That's why we're blessings, to bless other people. We don't have the anointing of the Holy Ghost just for us. It's for those out there who need healing, who needs deliverance. So come out of your cave and start doing some kingdom work. You got these people who are concentrating more on thinking, which is thinking, than knowing that they have the Holy Ghost. You have preachers now who are reading these books, such as Think and Grow Rich and all of these other new thought books that they're coming out with. They're coming up with more witchcraft and more, they're tapping more into the spirit of divination just so that they can prove to you that they're, quote, doing something for God, when in all actuality, they're practicing witchcraft. What the Father promised us in the Messiah is far than anything that you can measure in earthly wealth. It's more about spiritual wealth. These particular preachers out today, they're going to be dealt with. There's going to be a chosen remnant who's going to kick down these doors and rebuke these particular leaders and these bishops and these false apostles and these false prophets. They're going to get called out right there at the altar. You watch and see, because people are sick and tired of false promises and prophet lying and people coming up to the altar test lying. Let's go to Yeshayahu. To the book of Isaiah, chapter number 8. Isaiah chapter number 8, verse 9. The scripture reads, "Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken into pieces, and give ear, all ye of far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken into pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken into pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for Yahuwah is with us. For Yahuwah spoke thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of the people, of these people, saying, say ye not a conspiracy or a confederation. To all them to whom this people shall say, a confederation or a conspiracy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify Yahuwah of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, and for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Yashariel, for a gin, and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall, and become broken, and be snared, and be taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait upon Yahuwah, that he hide of his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom Yahuwah have given me are for signs and for wonders in Yasharia from the what? From Yahuwah of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And when ye shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their Yahuwah for the living to the dead? And that's what we're seeing here. More people are seeking the familiar spirit. They're looking more for Simon, the sorcerer, as it is written in the book of Acts of the Holy Ghost. also in the book of the Acts of the Holy Ghost, there was a woman walking around with a spirit of divination hanging amongst the apostles. And it grieved the spirit of Paul, and he rebuked that spirit. And she received the Holy Ghost. Look, we're not teaching these type of messages to the people. It's more focusing on happiness of this immeasurable favor that Yahuwah wants to give unto you. And it is so, but if you must do what? If you must hearken unto the voice of the Holy Ghost and to observe and to do all his commandments. You can read that in Deuteronomy chapter number 28. We're seeing these type of individuals move into mansions, luxury cars. That is how the world, quote, perceive wealth to be, because they do not understand, they cannot comprehend spiritual wealth, wisdom, knowledge, understanding of the Father. What happened to that? They come up with all these cliches. If you bless us, then you will receive your blessings. Like they're the Heavenly Father. They always say that Deuteronomy chapter 28, right? They always say, look, you'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the field. And they just pocket your money. My encouraging word for you today is that there are some individuals who are not trying to tell you to give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shake it together and runneth over, shall men give it to your bosom, for the same measure that you will give, it shall be measured to you again. Okay, there is a particular reason why the Mashiach said that in that passage. It wasn't some type of prosperity cliche. He doesn't deal with that. But there are some watchmen who are on the wall who are really looking out for your best interests in the spirit. And finally, to my brothers and my sisters out there this morning, please read Ezekiel chapter 34. It says, and the word of Yahuwah came to me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Yahshariah. Prophesy and say unto them, thus says the Elohim Yah unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Yahshariah that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat, and you clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you do not feed the flock. The scripture continues on, and it looks like the condition of the church. The disease have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which were sick, neither have you bound up that which were broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. That sounds like those pastors, doesn't it? That sounds like how those churches operate. They operate in spiritual strongholds, and they are the pharaohs on the block. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered throughout all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search nor seek after them. My brothers and my sisters, there is a prophetic utterance in this passage, because we're seeing many people misleading the sheep. We are tired of Christianity. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about that I'm against the word. No, the enemy is a liar. What I am saying is that religion and tradition is what we're tired of. We want spiritual reality. Where are these shepherds that's going to take care of us? Where are these shepherds that's going to stand up for what is right? Everybody was pointing at Ferguson. Where was these particular individuals that claiming that they're going in the name of the Heavenly Father? Did you know that they raised more money for the ALS than they did for the family of Michael Brown? Are you kidding me? These people rather raise up and pour water and do water torture and ice on their heads and entertain themselves more than going to seek out and trying to help a family. Did you know that the officer that shot and killed him, their side, they was able to raise more money than the victim? Are you joking? All these people come around, T.D. Jakes and Jamal Bryant and Al Sharpton. It is nothing but a stage. And you better believe, please believe what I say here this morning. The enemy sent them to do it. Most of these people, please, they locked up with the Freemasons. And that's part of the Illuminati. Do your research on Al Sharpton, for instance. Verse number 7. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of Yahuwah. As I live, says the Elohim Yah, surely because my flock became a prey and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there were no shepherds, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds feed themselves and feed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of Yahuwah. Thus says the Elohim Yahuwah, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus says the Elohim Yahuwah, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloud and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Yashariel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture. And upon the high mountains of Yashariel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountain of Yashariel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, beautiful, in his green pastures, says the Elohim Yahuwah. We're going to see just how terrible the Heavenly Father is. We always talk about he's a loving God. He's a great God. But did you know that he's a mighty and terrible Yahuwah? Meaning what? That the wrath of Yahuwah, and people really believe because of grace, and we have grace already. So people are still looking for more grace time to get it right. Also know that his wrath can be shown as well. We see how he done it over time with the nature that he created. People see the loving part of Yahuwah, but they do not see the wrath. They don't see his anger. Better start reading your word. It tells us in Nehemiah chapter 1, and said, I beseech thee, O Elohim Yahuwah of heaven, the great and terrible Yahuwah, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. You still think that because you have the blood of Jesus on your life, the blood of Yahusha, that you still don't have to do his commandments? the commandments and doing that. And by the way, the Messiah did say, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's if you love them. The ones that want to keep a covenant and mercy. I don't read in Nehemiah chapter 1 about keeping a relationship. His wrath, his anger is going to be shown. It's going to be displayed. My brothers and my sisters, the more that you have faith in this economy, the more that you have faith in your job, the more that you have faith in your little bank account, instead of having faith in Yahweh, the more that you're going to be out of the will of him. You need to have more faith in him. Go down for a reason so we can return back to him. Remember with the Israelites for 430 years, they were under the thumb of pharaohs there in Egypt. They were slaves to Egypt. And he let it go down. He let it happen. Then he sent Moses to let his people go. Once more, Yehuda, Judah this time, is captured in Jerusalem. Captured by the Babylonians and King Nebuchadnezzar. They took all of the men with wisdom that had the spirit of Yahweh upon them and took them into Babylon. You can read that in Daniel. It's a setup. Everybody's saying, why me, Father? Why me? When the question really is, why not you? Look, we need more watchmen on the wall. And you can read the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, and chapter 3 as well. We need more watchmen on the wall that are filled with the Holy Ghost, the ones that truly want to make a difference and get us out of this prosperity and new age gospel. Look, that's of the world, okay? So you have to leave whatever is of the world, that's of the world. A lot of you watch good old Preachers of L.A., and a lot of them are loving it and defending these brothers. I mean, I love them, but I also pray for them too. And we have to pray for individuals who are truly lost. They really think that they know, but they do not know. Something to think about. People, everything that glitters is not gold. Every time a particular individual can quote a scripture and they can do it real good, but use discernment in this season. Are they really operating under the unction of the Holy Ghost? What happened to people preaching about the Holy Ghost? Well, you can't preach nothing that you don't have, I suppose. And how can somebody give you the Holy Ghost if they don't have it themselves? It's 11:07. Good morning to each and every one of you. Just an encouraging word. Just a editorial that I wanted to speak with you about this morning concerning the difference between church folk and kingdom citizens. You can press 1 on your telephone keypad. We would love to hear from you. Those of you who are in internet land, if you'd like to call on in and speak, you may do so by calling in at area code 347-884-8468. We're speaking out this morning about this false gospel, these false messages that's being put out in the atmosphere. Each and every one of us that's on this line, that's listening to it in the archives, even the ones that are unable to listen to it, but able to listen based off the frequency of my voice under the unction of the Holy Ghost. Look, we got to come out of this tradition and religion thing that's going on. And we need to get into the presence of the Heavenly Father. And how can you receive? You have not because you ask not. We need more wisdom. And it's not about all these titles. We had a discussion on Facebook on yesterday, and people are saying, look, my name, one particular individual said that their name was Apostle. And she said that the Holy Ghost told her that. I don't know about that. It doesn't even matter what we say. I mean, you can call me brother, apostle, whatever the case may be. When you go to heaven, and I pray that many of us do, is your title going to be written in the book of life? Or is your name going to be written there? I would rather have my name there. The title that we should be seeking out is being a friend of Yahweh. What about saying that I'm one of the manifested sons of Yah? That's the name that I want. That's the title that I would love to have. Servant, how about that? I like that better. How about being a servant? All righty. You can go ahead and press one, and we'll go ahead and allow you on the line this morning. I hope that what I spoke was encouraging to you. Tradition and religion is killing the church. It really is. Anyone that would like to speak this morning, anything that you would like to add, any particular scripture that comes in your spirit, please share with us this morning. We would love to hear from you. You can press 1 on your telephone keypad. Those of you who are in internet land, if you like to call in, you can call in at area code 347-884-8468 is the number. What is wrong with the church today? Is it the people? Is it the leaders? What's happening? What is your perspective as to what's going on in the church? Why are we not seeing miracle signs, works, and wonders like it says in the book of Acts of the Holy Ghost? The Messiah said we should do greater works than he. So why are they not happening? Why aren't the individuals going to these hospitals in healing individuals? Why we're not seeing the blind? Why we're not seeing their eyes being opened? The deaf, why their ears are not being opened? Why are people wanting to hold on to familiar spirits? Why is that? Why are people are so drawn to witchcraft and divination and familiar spirits as opposed to being drawn to the Holy Ghost? Why is that? Anyone, you can press 1 on your telephone keypad. No one have not pressed 1 yet, and this is amazing. Okay, we have one caller. Anyone else? Why aren't we being honest? Why aren't the preachers, and this is something else I have to say. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Why isn't it that the leaders confess their sins to the congregation? How come you do a sin, they beat you up with the word, they condemn you, they rebuke you, but then when they do one sin, they got a scripture to back them up. Look, you're not supposed to talk back to me. You can't rebuke an elder, blah, blah, blah. Come on. Why are the people entertaining such foolishness? It's not about how many church buildings that you could build up. It's about building people's lives, about taking them out of this foolishness, out of this poverty mindset in the spirit realm, and shifting them into kingdom. That is what this is all about. It's about teaching the truth. Houston, Texas, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Apostle. How are you this morning?
I am blessed, woman of Yah. How are you?
I'm blessed as well. Thank
Hallelujah.
You,
yes, you are.
Thank you, Jesus. I was noticing some of the questions you were asking, and, you know, the scripture came to me that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we know that God gave us eternal life. He gave us eternal life through his shed blood. But the enemy has been hiding himself for so long, you know, in the people of God. He's been hiding in their mindset. He's been hiding in their way of doing things. And, you know, every now and then we see people casting out demons, and every now and then we see blinded eyes open and deaf ears unstopped. You know, we see God doing some miracles, you know, and it's not that he can't do miracles all over the world, but, you know, a lot of times people are not receptive, you know, to the Spirit of God. A lot of people don't even believe in the Holy Ghost, it's sad to say. You know, a lot of people don't even believe that Jesus died on the cross. There's a whole lot of things that people don't believe in, you know. But the Bible says, so what if man don't believe? Does it make the word of God none effect? No, you know. And because God is still going to be God, and he's still seated on the throne, you know, and the Bible says we are seated with him in heavenly places. That's those that believe in him. But I was also thinking, too, you know, that and you were talking, and so this came to mind that, you know, there are a lot of people that are saying, amen, with their mouth that they're saved, but their heart is far from God, you know. And so, and people get caught up in rituals and religions and demonic practices and things because it's more exciting to them, you know. And they feel like, oh, this feels good, so they're going to do what they feel. They're not going to do what they know. You know, because we can know to do good but never do it. You know, so we're going to hide behind that cloak of feel good, let's do it. You know, and like the Mrs. Osteen was saying, not to put anybody on the spot whatsoever, but it's you know, common knowledge now. You know, a lot of people just want to be happy. You know, they're not concerned about healing and deliverance and getting the captive free. They're concerned about let's just be happy, you know. The Bible didn't say be happy. It said be blessed. You know, blessed are the ones that, you know, that mourn. You know, blessed are, you know what I'm saying, the Beatitudes, praise God. But nevertheless, you know, God has ordained it, amen, that if, like you said, and the word says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things should be added. Amen. You have to seek, Lord, amen, and the blessings begin to flow. And they don't flow after a while. They begin to flow automatically, you know, when you begin to seek the Lord, you know. And so, but the thing about it is people want instant success. They want to be overnight success. That's why you see a lot of people get caught up in gambling and, you know, have a lot of gambling debt and, you know, going through so many changes. And then, you know, they'll do something, rob Peter to pay Paul, you know. And it's just a constant cycle of, you know, I want my riches and I want it now. You know, I want my pie in the sky and I want it now. You know, and the spirit of lust and greed, you know, is just overpowering the people in the churches. You know, we already know what the world is doing, but when it starts happening in the church, that's when it becomes a real problem, and that's what brings on the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Amen.
Absolutely. I
do agree. We do live in a microwave age. We can go into a computer, and if we want some information, it shows up in a matter of seconds by punching some keys and hit enter. You know, so if you don't want something, you can always delete. And we need to apply that in our lives as well, as far as, you know, how we deal with the enemy. We need to delete him, and we need to punch up faith, and we need to punch up, you know, the Heavenly Father and press enter so we can receive him. And remember, he says, you know, those who ask for the wisdom and he will give it unto them diligently, you know, those who seek the wisdom in the Holy Ghost, you know what I mean? And I feel that a lot of individuals, they're not really truly seeking the Father, but they rarely seek the blessings of Father.
Amen.
You know, they want that more than want him. Not even knowing that when you get him, you get those that come with it. That's a, you know, that's an incentive. Those are perks of the kingdom, you know. So why wouldn't an individual be close to their Heavenly Father, you know, the one who distributes, the one who commands? So we have to really, really be careful, you know, as a, you know, as to what we are asking for. And we need to be, and prayer is not hope. People always pray, and Lord, bless me with a new car, Heavenly Father, a new house, you know, like they're shooting craps, you know what I mean? It's not like that. You're supposed to be praying in spirit and in truth, you know? So it's the Holy Ghost that's going to tell you what to pray about, you know what I mean? So, you know, so you I mean, you're right, you know, yeah, we need to come out of that, I want my right now blessings, and wait patiently on him, and he will, you know, he will give it to his children. You know, that's the key right there. He blesses his children.
Amen. And I also, you know, want to add, Apostle, if you don't mind, I was reminded of Jesus, you know, when he went on the mountain and he was tempted 40 days, you know, he fasted 40 days in the wilderness, and the enemy tempted him and said, you know, if you fall down and worship me, I'll give you all this. And, you know, that they can receive the glory. That's what it's all about. The enemy says, you know, I'll give you this glory, and a lot of people have sold out to that. I'll give you this kind of money. I'll give you this fame and this fortune if you sell out to me. And the enemy has made that a standing ovation, quote, unquote, you know. And a lot of people are bowing down and worshiping him because of, you know, they can get it now, you know, that mentality. They can get it now, but they're selling their souls to the enemy.
Right. They really, and I'm glad that you said that, because they really don't believe that the enemy can bless them too. Look, bless means to make happy. You know what I mean? So, so he could make an individual. He tried it with the word, you know what I mean? So, but anytime, you know, he was tempted, he said, "For it is written." So he used the word, and that's what we have to do when we go through these type of temptations. You know, we have to say, "For it is written." You know, always use the word to combat when you're going through your wilderness experience and when you're going through situations. Always, you know, bring up the word. The Father loves when you speak the word, you know, because it, you know, it lets, you know, it's to let you know, because he already knows. He knows all. He sees all. But it lets you, you know, it lets you know, okay, I can believe in the word, I can trust in it, and I can stand on it. It is the truth, and it is no lie, and I can stand on it, and I can really, I you know, I can wait on him, you know, because he's going to bless me. And I feel that's another problem too. Like you said, people come up to the altar because they want that right now blessing. And, you know, you see it on social networks too, including Facebook. Hey, look, let me ask you something. What is God telling you in this season? I'm like, you could talk to him too. You tell me what he's telling you. You know what I mean? If he told me something to tell you, I'll call you or I'll write you. You know what I mean? So we got to be very careful as to, you know, this type of, you know, this type of thing that is happening in the earthly realm. And I thank the Father so much for you for coming on the line and speaking out. So may the Father continue to bless you and keep you. And we love you. Thank you so much for coming on the line. Thank you.
Love you too, sir. Appreciate you.
Blessings. Hallelujah. All righty. Hallelujah. That was from Houston, Texas. That was a very powerful thing that our dear sister said. Okay. Area code 301. You are on the line. Good morning.
Good morning. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Pastor, I really do feel fervent about this. These quick fixes have just messed up many people in the body. You know, and I guess I'm just going to piggyback off what you're saying. It's like nobody wants to wait. Nobody wants to repent anymore. It's like I got to have it right now. And the people, when you go to church, they feed right into that. They'll twist up the scriptures and tell you by this time tomorrow you're going to have this, that, and the other. And sister, brother, all you got to do is sow that seed, and then you just feed right into this garbage. And then when you wake up tomorrow and you realize that you heard in churches didn't come to pass, then you automatically say, I don't want to be bothered with God no more, because God is a liar. But God is not a liar. It's these people that are abusing and twisting up this word and, you know, calling prophecy prophesying.
Mm-hmm.
Half the time, how can people prophesy to you when they have not labored amongst you?
Mm.
You have to sit there and wait at the gate. You can't prophesy to somebody when God has not spoken. And all these people who call themselves prophets, they need to sit down somewhere. Sit down, get healed, learn the word, and stop speaking ahead of God. Because that's why all of this confusion is coming from, because people are saying that God said this and God said that. God is not quick to speak on a situation. You got to wait on him. The word says wait on him. So if people would just come in with the attitude that I'm looking to hear from God, and if you hear something that's not of God, then you need to reject it, rebuke it, and keep it moving. You don't keep on going back to somebody, keep on coming to you, telling you God said this, and then you got the parking lot prophets coming out to the people telling you, hey, sister, hey, brother, God got a word for you. It's time to rebuke that, too. Why would you sit up in the house of God for 2-3 hours or sometimes 4, only come out to a parking lot and suddenly God is now talking? I mean, it's so much confusion and disorder in the household that, I mean, this is why people are just not trusting in the Lord anymore, because, or Yahuwah,
yeah.
To be proper, I mean, to be exact about it, Yahuwah is not getting his glory because the people are doing too much that's out of order, and they do it, why, I don't know. I don't know if people are seeking to steal his glory or what's going on. I don't know what their motivation is, because a lot of times I don't even know why people are doing all this running to the building anyway. They do more running to the building than they're actually seeking Yahuwah. You know, and if you really knew what was going on inside of all these buildings, if the person that's supposed to be leading you is flipping out the Bible a couple of hours before the service or the night before and ain't been seeking all week long, how do you believe that this person is really praying on your behalf?
Mm.
That building is cold, according to the frozen people that come up in here with this word. The building is not fired up because the people collectively are not seeking the face of Yahuwah. We've got big old 7 days a week. And half the time, when you ask the people of God about the word of God and how frequent do they frequent his presence, his word, his son, the people of God who do have a relationship, do you notice how quiet people get? Do you notice how quiet people get when you do speak the truth and you're coming to them not to judge people but to help them make a change? They get silent on you.
But you know what, my sister? We tell them it's in the word, but they still get angry at it. And I'm like, look, I didn't say it. The word said it. It's right here in the word. The word said that. So why do people get angry at that? Now, you telling them what the word said, okay?
Because
now,
the word is just, it's just a book of seeds. People do not know how to navigate a book of seeds because you're not taught this when you go to church. You're taught to listen to what they tell you, their so-called version of the truth, and you're not allowed to ask any questions.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times you can't really fault, you know, the leader, and sometimes you can't fault the people who are listeners, because they do not really know what to do. You tell people they need to fellowship, that you don't have to necessarily do it all on one day, that you can fellowship with other people. I have a friend, we came out of bondage together, and it was amazing how all of us are not out of bondage. Some of us are still in bondage because in order to say you came out, you got to continue seeking his face to stay free. And when I say for 3 or 4 years, you need to continue fellowshipping, I get this response of, well, you know, it's so hard to find some people to fellowship with. I have a blank stare. In 4 years, you can't find some people to fellowship with? That's where the spirit of pride and ignorance and self-righteousness are eating the very chaffs of people's souls, because the excuses that people make, because we can't keep riding off the church is not perfect anymore. That is old and cold. You know, because when we stand before Yahuwah at the day of judgment, he's not going to want to hear these excuses about, well, you know, the man of God, the woman of God, they wasn't teaching right or they wasn't living right. It's like, well, broad is the way to which you're going, where many are going, and narrow is the way. People still don't believe what the word says about narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and broad is the way to destruction. People don't think that this is real. Living in these end times and not being able to go always and have that word hand dished to you is no excuse why you cannot fellowship with others and seek the word for yourself to get these answers. It's, you can't just ride off of, well, it's not perfect in the building anymore, because the devil is laughing at people because that excuse is getting so many people.
Well, I know the word tells us, it says that Paul stated that he would not reside in buildings made with man's hands, but now he's residing in us, you know,
he
with the Holy Ghost.
He is residing in us, but you got stir up that spirit. You got to feed that spirit, man, and talking about what was and not going on in that building when you're supposed to be that building and you're not doing anything to feed your spirit because you're too busy using the excuse not to fellowship because what's wrong in the so-called building. And so many people who claim to be believers are falling into that trap. You got to find God, Yahuwah, whoever that you choose to call him. Some of them call God Jesus. Lord have mercy, but, you know, whoever you choose to be your divine one according to your studies, so it be unto you, you need to seek the divine somewhere to find truth. And if you seek him hard enough, you whatever you was believing that wasn't true, he will reveal it. But people are not even seeking anymore, and that really grieves my heart to pieces. Not seeking anymore. Just got tired. Just don't feel like doing anymore, you know, the excuses from it's just so hard to, I'm not making enough money and all of these excuses why they do not seek the face of Yahuwah. It's just unbelievable at this time. And time is pointing, you know, that it's getting shorter and shorter, and it's even more time because you know not the hour that, you know, salvation cometh to pick you up on that bus, and you can't seek him then. It's too late.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just really just makes me sad to realize that how we just keep picking and choosing these excuses that are unacceptable. As you pointed out earlier, you know, God is love, but there's that side that he will destroy you in a heartbeat, and that's the end of that. He will not grieve, because that was also love that will destroy you.
And I feel that is the part that is missing, is that people are not fearing him, you know.
No,
like
not.
like he will not do anything, and he will. He, you know, it says in his word that he will do it. So, you know, we have to come out of that and people feel just because salvation has presented it, you know, himself, that, you know, people now are saying, you know what, I don't have to worry about that anymore, you know, and now I can go out and see him because I got the blood and now I can see him. That's not the case. Why would he tell the woman, you know, to not, you know, and you know, people just not getting it. And that's where, you know, we have to pray for those, you know, who are lost. We have to pray for those who are teaching, you know, falseness so they can come back into the fold. And there are some people who are just teaching. They're deliberately doing it because they work for the enemy. So
they
we just
and they
have
just
to
drag all these people with them.
Yep, and that's their main motive. That's how the end. Remember when he got kicked out of heaven, a third of the angels followed him. So that's how it goes. You know, so may the Father bless you and keep you as well. I love you, my dear sister. Thank you so much for expounding as well. Hallelujah. Love you. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Okay, 678, looks like it is in Georgia. You're on the line. Good morning.
Good morning. You said something that was so profound this morning. You said that religion and tradition is killing the church. And actually, yes. I'm a product of the church. So I know exactly what you are talking about. And you talked about people not having the Holy Ghost. See, like you said, we're living in a kingdom age. And when there's kingdom, then there should be miracles, signs, and wonder. The kingdom is the power of God. And not only that, it's like it's the appointed against the anointed. And it seems
yes.
like you have all the appointed up in the church, and they got the anointed sitting down. They got the anointed pushed to the back, and they don't want the anointing to open their mouth. So I said all of that to say, sometimes when you know the Lord and you seek the Lord for yourself, when you know the Creator, when you get into his word and you study his word, really they don't want that truth coming over the pulpit. So I said all of that to say, we're living in a day and time right now where you have the anointed or the appointed against the anointed. And what they're doing, they're trying to ostracize the anointing. They're trying to push the anointed to the back. But it's going to come a day and a time where people are going to need an unadulterated word from the Lord.
Hallelujah. I agree. And my brothers and my sisters, when she says appointed, she's talking about man appointing, okay? Because we also know that the Father can appoint as well. So once you are appointed by the Father, then you receive that anointing. So you must be appointed by the Father to be anointed by him. So that's very powerful as to what you said. And I'm telling you, we are seeing a lot of people who are trying to use their education to get up behind the sacred desk as opposed to, you know, being full of the Holy Ghost. Remember the Messiah said that he said, if you believe and be baptized in the Holy Ghost, you shall be saved. So you can't be saved if you just, you know, if you just have the word and you carry it around in your hand. You must believe in him and you must receive the Holy Ghost. Then you shall be saved. Absolutely.
Not only that, he said, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you shall receive power. And
yes.
See, when you receive that power, then you can help people. You can minister to people. You can heal people. You can speak life to people. But I want to go back to a parable that Jesus talked about in the Word. And he told the fig tree that this fig tree would no longer produce fruit because it appeared to be a fig tree. But when Jesus got up on that tree and he lifted up the leaves, there was no fruit. And see, in this season, we have to be careful because, you know, I say I'm a minister and she says she's a deacon and he says he's a prophet. No, we have to be fruit inspectors. Is what they're doing and saying lining up with their title? Is what they're doing and saying lining up with the word of God? And we all fall short of the glory of God, but for the most part, we should be bearing some good fruit.
Hallelujah. And the word says when we were sinners, we fell short of the glory. So, you know, that's when we were sinners at one point. But now, you know, when you have the Holy Ghost, there should be a change. You should see a different fruit. You should see the fruit of the Holy Ghost. You got to see the fruit of the Spirit, as it says in Galatians chapter 5. So a lot of people, they feel that, okay, well, I was a sinner, and I have tasted the Holy Ghost, and now I can go back to sinning. No, the scripture says when you willfully start sinning and you have tasted the knowledge of the truth, then that's considered to be backsliding, you know, because you have tasted the goodness. You became a partaker of the Holy Ghost. And then once you go back into that, that's like putting him back onto the cross, you know, to put him to open shame. So a lot of people, I mean, it's a shame, you know, that people are doing this. They have tasted the goodness of the Holy Ghost, but they have allowed the enemy to creep back into their hearts. And that is why we are in trouble. And we got to come out of that. We have to teach other people how to stay under the plumb line, you know, of the Holy Ghost, under the plumb line of the Father. We got to get this thing right, because he's coming. And when he's coming for his chosen remnant. So it has to be a chosen remnant that he's coming for. And we just have to be ready, prepared, and we got kingdom work to do. You know, people are looking forward to go to heaven, but he wants heaven here on earth. So he wants us to get it together here. And you know, that's the thing. We got to start rolling dice when it comes to the Father. We got to quit, you know, as a people. That has to stop. That has to stop.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So may the Lord bless you and keep you as well. I love you. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Thank you so much for coming on the line. Hallelujah. All right, my dear sister out in Georgia, good morning to her as well. Anyone else that would like to speak, you can press 1 on your telephone keypad. What is wrong with the church? Why it looks deformed? Why it looks retarded? Why look malnutritioned? Well, a lot of us have spoke this morning. It's simply because, you know, number one, we're not taking care of our own temple. We have to take care of our vessel. We have to take care of, you know, the things of the Father, the holy things, the set apart things of the Father. And I don't see any oil. Hallelujah. I don't see any oil on that altar. I see strange fire. And if you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1, it says that the dead flies that is in the anointing of the apiary, it causes a stinking smell. And that is why people, when they're speaking and they're claiming that they are in the anointing of the Holy Ghost, there are dead flies that are in that. There are dead flies in their anointing. And that's why it can't flow. That's why the anointing cannot flow. Anyone else like to speak, you can press 1 on your telephone keypad. We are just almost out of time. Those of you who are not being able to, I mean, those of you who do not would like to come on this morning, I bless the Father for you. I just, you know, doing this type of work, you know, bringing messages and, you know, studying and laying before the Father and fasting for his people. You know, it is something that a lot of people are not doing in today's time. You know, a lot of people won't turn down their plates for their brothers or their sisters. A lot of people won't take the time out to pray or to encourage an individual or to love an individual. You have people out there who have the means, the finances to bless those, to push them into their destiny, but yet they're hoarding the money. Look, you can't take none of that materialistic stuff with you, okay? You were naked when you came, and you're going to be naked when you return into the dust, okay? So, I mean, you know, we really have to really be careful as to what we're putting our faith into. We have to be careful as to whom we're receiving our daily bread from. We have to be careful as to we should be doing everything in spirit and in truth. You should be listening to the messages in spirit. You should be able to receive truth. If it applies to you, you could either say amen or you could just say ouch. That's okay. We have to stop abusing individuals with the word. Stop abusing individuals on Facebook, you cyber bullies, these pulpit bullies, preacher behind the pulpit, putting everybody's business out, and then you're telling everybody that the Holy Ghost told you, when in all actuality, it was that person or someone else that told you that. The Father is getting tired. We're seeing people leave this planet left and right. We're seeing that this earth is getting worse. We're seeing over there in the Middle East, people are dying for the message's sake. They're being beheaded. There are terrorist groups who are not playing around. We have to get it right. It starts within us. We have the power. We have the authority that he has given us. Everybody is want to be so codependent on what Yah wants to do. No, he is going to do it. It's going to be done if we like it or not. These preachers got to stop lying, telling people it's going to get better. It's about truth. It's about coming out of these seed lines, out of these particular psychic lines. When are people going to really start teaching the unadulterated, uncompromising gospel of the truth? We need that. People are lost. Souls are damaged. People are walking around with church hurt. When are leaders going to start coming together to work to make this happen? Why is the spirit of competition? Where's the spirit of cooperation? Hallelujah. Memphis, Tennessee, you're on the line. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I am blessed. How are you?
I'm doing good this morning. I just wanted to call in and say that, yes, I have seen it for myself, and I could say there are a lot of people who are actually, they're drawn to certain things that they have no knowledge of.
Mm-hmm.
So when they come out of tradition or different churches and they see another church come up, and, you know, one phrase that I kept hearing, because I went to that church too, was, it's not church as usual. But then God has started showing me things, and not so much showing me, but they were actually showing themselves by phone conversations, by me one day walking in and hearing one of the preachers say, that's all the money we made? And I said, okay. And I was saying to myself, God, you know, I didn't need to hear that. And so it was so much that kept going on, and it was, Ken, he's trying to get a divorce from his wife. He's been away from, and I'm like, okay, God, are you letting me hear this stuff because you're telling me I need you to get out of there? And so it was so much that kept coming, and I kept seeing it, and I kept hearing it through phone conversations, by talking with the pastors and the prophetess in the church, and God would show me dreams of where certain people wanted it cold in the church. They didn't want it hot. And I was like, okay, hot represents the Holy Ghost, and they want it cold. And it was a lot of exposure from different people that I kept seeing, but I stayed because I was hoping it would get better. Now, see, I'm one of those that you talked about that came over the pulpit, and I got called so many names. I was thinking to myself, I started questioning who I was in God, because It was so horrific that they started calling different individuals, talking about me and saying the things that they were going to do to me, because I said, you know what, it's something when people don't like you and you really don't know. I said, they are great liars, because I didn't know a lot of them didn't like me, because they would put their persona smiling to you, hugging you, saying, hey, sister this, man, how are you doing? And then afterwards, and after that, well, I'm not going to say it was a confrontation. I just stood there like, oh, my gosh, Lord, are you serious? This is what I am now. But whenever you needed a dream or God told you to call me because I was the one with the answer for something that you was looking for after you have asked 10 people, and I was like, well, if God told you through 10 people and you're calling me, okay, and it just was like, okay, Lord, now I'm all of these names, and I started questioning my faith. I started questioning God. I started sitting at home because I was depressed and I didn't know what to do. But it took another lady that had seen me, had to come to me and tell me. She said, you know, the relationships that God had formed before now, those were the relationships that he had ordained. And so she now comes by and she picks me up and brings me to church, and I listen. And I was also seeing that the other church that I went to, they stopped fellowshipping with certain churches because they didn't like how they would, well, how they would say that they're churchy, or they were too programmed. But then that ministry that I was at also, it also had become too programmed. It was always a lot of shouting and a lot of falling out, and I was just like, oh, my gosh, are we going through this again this Sunday? You know, I started getting wanting more of the word, and whenever I said something about it, I got hungry. I told, I need some steak and potatoes. I need some food with some dessert. And it was actually shunned off, like, you have to be more stern with the apostle because, you know, if you don't tell her this or tell her that, she's not going to believe you. I said, what are you talking about? She said that you just said something about you were hungry. I said, you know what? I said, I'm not going to keep explaining myself. I said, I did what I was supposed to do. I told her what the Lord told me to tell her. I said, and God would take it from there. So I actually, it's charismatic. A lot of people are mesmerized now about prophecies and hearing words and things that they have never heard before. And They're not reading their words.
Very powerful. Very, very powerful. Very powerful that you said this morning, because, I mean, first of all, I salute you, you know, in the name of the Father and the Word and of the Holy Ghost. I mean, this is a topic that I've been wanting to talk about for a long time, is that, you know, like you said, the charismatic church, and I've spoken on it numerous times, you know, on the air. And I talk about how people, you know, the leaders, they dress it so that it may look holy, but in all actuality, you know, when you look at it and when it hits your spirit, and your spirit does not come, you know, it does not come subject to that, you start to wonder, you know, wait a minute, this person not even using the word, I don't even see no Bible in their hand, and they're just talking out of, you know, they say that they're talking out of the Holy Ghost, but they're talking out of flesh, and you can identify with that. And, you know, the leaders talking behind one another and things of that nature. You know, when I talk about the church having true love, you can only find true love in the Father. And when you have that true love, now you're able to honestly and to rightfully and truthfully love his people. Remember when the Messiah asked Peter, did he love him? And he says, yes, you know that I love you. He said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. So you must have the love for the Father to feed his sheep. And we're seeing a lot of people, including, you know, these particular, you know, apostles or leaders or whatever the case may be, they don't have the heart of the Father. And it's like, you know, their agendas are wrong. Instead of, you know, they want the glamour, they want the flim-flam, instead of them wanting the truth to be out and you know, being able to operate under the unction of the Holy Ghost. And like you said, we need more teaching. You know, people are hungry, like yourself. I'm hungry. A lot of times I have to go in the refrigerator, okay, you know, the spiritual, okay, Heavenly Father, Holy Ghost, okay, I guess we'll go ahead and me and you eat again today. And I don't hear a lot of people, you know, because there's times that I, you know, pour out a lot of oil, you know what I mean? And I want to be fair sometimes. Mm-hmm. And just one conversation, with an individual. I can, you know, I could deal with that. It sparks my spirit, man, that I can go ahead and eat. But then when you, you know, when you want to meet kindred-like spirits and you can't find that many, you know, like you said, it almost forces you to say, you know what? What am I really having my faith in? You know, I don't really, you know, have my faith in the church anymore. I've seen people have said, you know what, because of you, and what's it talking to me? It's talking to another leader. And they said, because of you, I have lost my faith in the Father because you lied. And I've heard that. And I said, wow. I said, that's deep, because people don't even realize that if you don't teach them the proper lying, you can damage somebody's faith.
Yes.
You can do it. Like you said, you know, you said you started to wonder about your faith. Hold on, wait a minute. You know, and it's horrible. It's horrible. Mm.
And one lady, she had got a prophecy, and she said, well, Jeanette, she said that she was going to demand, they were going to call me the day about the house, but we didn't even leave them a number or anything to call us, but how are they going to call us? And I just sat there on the phone. I didn't say anything. And I, you know, because I get phone calls, and it's like I'm saying to myself, God has already shown me. I can't tell you nothing. I'm not going to tell you to leave anywhere. Because I done already got beat up by the, over the pulpit by the prophetess and the preacher. So I'm not going to tell you anything, but God has already showed you. If the woman didn't call, she said, well, the lady didn't call me. And I was like, okay, so there's your answer. So what do you want me to do? But it has been so charismatic. And they had this is the last one I'm going to make. They had a leader that came from another ministry. And she was telling them, y'all know, y'all hear people say these are the last and evil days. That's not true. Because if these were the last and evil days, you hadn't even got your blessings that God said that he was going to give to you, hadn't. God is not going to let you leave out of here without receiving your blessings. So quit listening to that. It's the last and evil days. And when I heard that, my heart sank. Because I said,
wow.
These people are actually believing this.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. And you know, like I said, we have to be careful as to what we put our faith into. We know these are the last and evil days. I mean, there's no way we can sit here and say that is not. It is the last and evil days. But then while the people are allowing the enemy to use them, you know, to say these things, because the enemy don't want you to know that these are the last and evil days. He don't want nobody to know that. He want to keep his agenda going. You know what I mean? And he wants everybody to be taken out. That's his agenda, you know? So we really have to be very careful what we hear as well. I can't agree with that. There's no way. No way I can agree with that. He's not going to let you leave until you get your blessings. The blessing is being with him. That's a blessing. You know, just having the Holy Ghost alone. That's the best blessing that you could ever have, is to have the Holy Ghost and operating in it, you know, and you're able to connect with the Father, you know. I don't get that. She said, stop saying these are the evil days. These are the evil days. These are the last days. Yes. Too much stuff is happening. I mean, either she's not watching television or she just in denial because you got people who are in denial.
Yes.
I can't. I mean, and this is the type of thing that I'm talking about, the type of foolishness that has to stop being taught. This is foolishness. You know what I'm saying? You can't teach people that. And people wonder how come they're being attacked.
Yes, Lord.
You know, they're bringing attacks upon themselves with what they say. We got to be careful. We got to be very careful. My sister, bless you. I love you. Thank you so much for coming on the line to sharing that with us, because we need to know these things.
Yes.
Bless you. We love you. Thank you.
Me too.
All righty. Hallelujah. That was very deep there. You know, that was very, wow. That's what's happening in the congregation. You know, you got, you know, I, you know, we just read it back in Ezekiel chapter 34. They're eating the meat from the sheep. They're even eating the sheep up. And we really, in these last, in evil times, yes, I said it, because we are living in those times. We must really be, we must get down to serious business. This is a serious assignment that each and every one of you have to do for the kingdom. It's time to get real. It's time to get serious. The enemy knows that his time is near, and he's trying to take everybody with him. Look, everybody, I love each and every one of you in spirit and in truth. There's nothing that you can do about it except for you to do one thing, and that is for you to love your brother back. Because, look, the Father, he is love, and those that worship him can only worship him in spirit and in kingdom truth. Have a very blessed Shabbat. Rest in him on today. Have a wonderful Saturday afternoon and mornings for some of you. Keep the Father first, okay? Know who you are and whose you are in him. I pray and I hope that I hear from you on Monday, 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time. From your brother, Shabbat Shalom. Shalom and shalom, everyone.